Hi, I'm Adam, and welcome to the First Man Photography Podcast. On today's episode, we are going to be talking about how you can predict a cloud inversion, or come pretty close to predicting a cloud inversion. If you didn't see my video from this Sunday, First Man Photography on YouTube, it was about a cloud inversion in the Lake District. And there's a few comments on the video about me being lucky, and I have mixed feelings about luck and landscape photography. I do believe there is some involved. However, by getting out more often and more often and the hard work, it makes that luck come to you. And luck is just a way of, I think, explaining things sometimes, so it doesn't feel too pretentious and irritating. We sort of say we're lucky when in actual fact it's come from dedication and hard work. So but on this occasion, there was definitely an element of luck, because there always is an element of luck when it comes to the weather and when it comes to cloud inversions particularly. That's not to say, though, that I didn't predict it, because I looked carefully at the weather patterns and I was hopeful, for one. Hopeful enough to get out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning to drive over to the Lake District to then hike up to the top of Waller Crag before the sunrise. So we'll go into how I did that in a minute. But before we do, I just wanted to let you know about the tour that I've got coming up of the Lake District with Light and Land. That's at the end of February, start of March. It's a 3-day tour. We're going to go all around the Lake District, stay in some really nice accommodation at the Borrowdale Hotel as well. Head over to the Light and Land website and you can search for that there. Just look at the tutors, find me, and then you can find the tour that way. I will put a link in the description if I get time, but it's easy to find on the Light and Land website. Come along, I would love to see you. There's still a few places left, and that's at the end of January and the start of February. So I'd really love it if you would check that out and come along. So from a photography point of view, what is a cloud inversion? A cloud inversion is essentially just when we get a layer of fog or mist down at ground level, and then we manage to get ourselves up above it, get a perspective above that cloud and shoot down into a valley or across a lake or somewhere where you're above that cloud. You've got a nice sunny sky or a nice sunrise above you, and then you've got the fog down below you, providing extra unusual interest into the scene. So the other morning when I got up at 4 a.m, it's difficult. I really don't like getting out of bed that early. I've got young children. Getting up early is something I do almost every day. And when you're getting up even earlier, there's just, in that, when the alarm goes off, it's just so easy to turn over and go back to sleep. And to get up early is a necessary part of landscape photography. So I do it. I just don't like it. But I'm glad I did on last week, because when I was driving down, the forecast had been for patchy cloud or patchy fog. And as I was driving along towards the Lake District, there was patches of cloud. So I was kind of driving along into a patch of cloud and thinking, yes, this is it. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Then it would go totally clear again. And I was like, oh, that's not good. That's not good. So it's just this mixture of emotions driving along, because the day was forecast to be clear blue skies. And personally, I think having clear blue skies makes photography the most difficult and the least interesting when it comes to landscape photography. So when you've got a day that's going to be full blue skies all day long, I personally think the best time of day to get out is right before the sun rises. So that's why I wanted to do it. If the cloud inversion hadn't happened, I think the shots would not have been anywhere near what I ended up getting. But driving along, parked up the car, and it was that kind of dank, cloudy, slightly misty feeling, but I couldn't see the cloud where I was. It was still dark. I couldn't see Doe and Water as well, which was behind the other side of a wood. So I started climbing and I was through the forest, and I still wasn't sure until it started to get light. And it's when you're walking up Waller Crag, you barely get any view of the lake until you get to the very top. And that was the case. And I got to the top and that cloud inversion was there. And it was fantastic. It was even better, in fact, because it wasn't a massive cloud inversion. It was just enough to see that cloud really nice and clearly, but left patches in it to create that really dramatic, interesting feel where details from the ground can still be found. And that's how I ended up getting the shots that I did. And it turned into a really good shoot. I managed to make a good video as well. I was probably up there for about 2 hours. Shooting conditions that were good lasted for about 30 minutes. So it was a case of trying to do time lapses and capture images and film video and fly the drone all in that 30 to 45 minutes. It was challenging. I didn't quite get as much good footage as I would have wanted, but it still worked out with a pretty decent video, I think. So how did I predict it? So there are a few things you've got to be looking at with the weather generally all times if you want to get on top of your landscape photography and get into the right places at the right time. It's always a little bit unpredictable, but we can look, we can predict it to some extent. So pressure is the first thing. High pressure, particularly for a cloud inversion. High pressure brings about conditions that are still, because when high pressure is sitting over the UK, generally air is moving towards the areas of low pressure. So we don't have as much wind. It's more stable conditions, I guess. It's not as changeable, and that's what we want for a cloud inversion. So high pressure is the first thing to look for. You also want it to be cold on the morning. Cloud inversions generally will only happen in the morning, so you've got to get up early as well. But we want nice, cold conditions almost towards freezing, because that's when that cloud really starts to sink and that fog really is nice and thick, and it hangs around for a little while in the morning as well. The next thing is, ideally, it's going to be a damp day the day before. So it doesn't necessarily have to rain, and it didn't in my case, but there's moisture in the air, there's clouds in the sky, and you want that the day before. I don't know all the science of it, but essentially what happens, the reason we call it an inversion is because it's the opposite of what normally happens. So normally hot air rises as the day goes on, the ground warms up, and that hot air rises up into the sky, and that's where the clouds form. But that's reversed. So the hot air, for some reason or other, I don't know why, hot air sinks to the ground, and then that warmer air near the ground is trapped by a layer of cold air above it. And it's when you then get near the bodies of water where that warmer air pulls up some moisture out of the water that you get those really interesting cloud inversions. It also happens, or tends to happen, in the UK much more in the autumn, the late autumn and the early winter. So from around this time in October to the sort of start, mid part of December. There will be times that it happens at other times of the year, but the conditions seem to occur more regularly in the late autumn and early winter. So you want that moisture in the air the day before to sink down to the ground. As the night goes on, you need nice, still conditions, because we don't want that fog and that mist being blown away. So no wind is an essential factor. And that does often come with high pressure as well. But we want no wind, we want it cold, we want moisture in the air to then sink down to the ground. And then the day ahead, you want, it needs to be nice, sunny, high pressure conditions. So it's difficult to predict. I have thought I might see a cloud inversion on numerous occasions. I've gone out, chased it, and then it doesn't happen. So you will be, if you start to chase cloud inversions, you will be disappointed probably more than you actually see them. Although if you look for these signs, you definitely will start to see them. This is particularly the case in the UK. I'm not sure as such about many other places, but definitely that's the case in the UK. You have certain spots where it's more likely to happen. So the Lake District is perfect, because you've got that cold water down on the surface, and then you've got the mountains as well, which then trap that damp, foggy air, and it will sit over those cold lakes, trapped in that mountain range as well. So it obviously, having the mountains as well gives you that a good raised position to climb up and actually see the cloud inversion as well. So the Lake District is an excellent place because of the mountains and the lakes. Another good place is Simmons Yat in the Wye Valley. That's a good one because you have a really nice viewpoint over the Wye River, and then that sort of you quite often get one there. I've shot a vlog from there before. There are other places. It happened in the Yorkshire Dales on the same day. So if you'd been up on Ingleborough in the Yorkshire Dales, you would have seen one. It happened at the Pennines as well the same day. So you often get the cloud hanging over wet fields and things like that. Out in the countryside is where you are likely to see them. But still, difficult to predict. You need to get up early or camp high up so you can see it and get there in time to see it. Because as the sun rises, and it generally will be a sunny day, the sun rises, heats up that cloud, and it will rise, evaporate, and disappear fairly quickly. So, it's like anything in landscape photography, really. It's about planning, it's about preparation, then it's about hard work, getting out as much as you possibly can, and eventually you will see one if you're looking for it. There's nothing like dedication to and hard work to make these things happen, and that's why I don't think it's totally luck, because if you're not doing it and you're not doing it over and over again, then you're never going to get good pictures. The good pictures come from an element of that dedication, I think. So that's how I predict it. It's not a fixed kind of way of doing it at all, but that's what I look for, and it will give me a guide as to how likely I am to get up and make the effort to get into position on that morning. But when it does happen, like you saw in the video, it's a very special moment. It's a moment that you're generally going to get all to yourself as well, unless you're with somebody. But special moments, and that's why I love landscape photography. You're creating images as well that are more unique and other people aren't going to get. And that's really been a focus of mine over the last few months, actually, since the summer. When I got those images at Sands End of that sea fret coming in. And it just got me thinking about extreme weather. And I've done a few shots last year as well in extreme weather. I've been really attracted to that recently. And it's something I've been seeking out, is those extreme or rare weather conditions, because they just produce more unique shots. And they provide that opportunity for you to pick up a special image that doesn't exist anywhere else. More unique, more interesting, more special, more likely to get people's attention. And that's, for me, that's key, because I'm an artist. I want people to see the work that I am creating. And particularly in the area of photography these days, it's very competitive. So it's about trying to get your work some attention. And images like this with extreme weather conditions will do that. I've had a few people ask me, do I send pictures into weather watches and things like that on the news? And I don't want to display my work in that way. But certainly a couple of the images that I got the other day are going to be ones that I print out and I will sell. And it gives me a great deal of pleasure creating something that you can feel the effort in that picture. When you look at it, you can remember what you went through to capture it, and it just makes the whole situation much more satisfying, and that image more satisfying to look at for you, and then hopefully for others when you tell the story of how you captured it. And that's a big part of your photography as well, is to talk through what your story was, what's the story behind the image. I think when we look at our work like that, the work should stand alone, but when we start to introduce the story around the work as well, which is what the vlogs do from me, it just adds to the interest. And that's the same in the art world generally, is the discussion we have around the work adds to the whole story and interest of it. So that's why I've become more interested in those extreme weather conditions. It also helps me, or forces me almost, to get out in those extreme weather conditions, to put myself in a situation where I am likely to pick up something unique and special. So if you're sitting on your couch when it's raining or it's windy or something unusual is happening with the weather, then you're not going to get good shots, are you? It's as simple as that. So it's just a case of trying to get out as much as possible. And that's definitely the case with landscape photography generally. I also had a few people asking me about commenting about knowing the area that you're in and where to go for a cloud inversion. And my answer to that is that's where scouting out a location, exploring the landscape, is such a big part of what a landscape photographer does. Because once you know the landscape, you have local knowledge, it becomes easier to be in the right place at the right time for the right weather conditions. And again, that only comes from practice, experience, and hard work. And when you listen to other other landscape photographers as well as me, you will hear them talking about scouting out areas. You can do that during the day when the sun is high in the sky, then do some shooting towards the beginning and end of the day if you're out all day, or if you're on a photography tour, that kind of thing. But photography tours are a good way, or workshops are a good way to get around that. You don't need to have the knowledge yourself, because you're going out with an experienced professional photographer and they can show you that. And that's certainly what will be happening with my tour in the Lake District in February. We'll be going around lots of different locations with some really nice places to shoot. So I'd love it if you were, again, to come along. Anyway, that's enough for now, I think. I have just taken delivery of the Fujifilm GFX medium format camera, the 50 megapixel 50S. It's a thing of beauty. The images that camera creates are fantastic. I can't wait to get out and use it in anger on a vlog in a landscape photography setting. I will be talking about that either this week or next week. I've got it for a couple of weeks, so I'm not sure when when the video will go out, but there definitely will be something featuring that camera in the next week or two. So look out for that. It's nice. I just find it nice to know what some of the very best equipment out there can do. It then gives you that perspective about what you need and where you want to be with your gear, because it might not be something you need. The extra quality that camera provides might not match the extra money it provides. So that's something I'm interested to find out with that camera. But certainly the quality is excellent in the first couple of days that I have been using it. So look out for that. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. And then it always helps me if you share the videos as well. It'll also help me if you give this podcast a review. I'm hoping to expand it as time goes on, have interviews and some other stuff like that, hopefully with some top-notch landscape photographers as I manage to meet up with them. So make sure you subscribe. If you give it a good review, 5-star review would be amazing. If you don't like it and you really want to give it a 1-star review, then do that. But I would love a great review. That really would help me out. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this. I will speak to you again soon on the podcast. I'm Adam. This is the First Man Photography Podcast. Out.